Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show that shares insights into how you can build your business once, with hosts Jerry Lowry and Jennifer Navarrete.
Good morning, everyone. This is Jennifer Navarrete, and I am joined, of course, by Sherry Lowry for the Build Your Business Once show. Now, we're continuing on the theme of knowing yourself first, but today we're going to focus in on the real impact of true listening. And Sherry, you know, I have to say that when I think about listening, I think we don't really use that word properly because there is hearing, which is actually, you know, hearing a sound. But then there's listening, which is understanding what that sound means. So can you dive right in and let us know what the topic of listening really means?
Yes. There are actually three different levels that we'll address over this full month as we go forward, continuing. One is listening to what literally is being said. And the other, the second is exactly what you said. What is under that? What is the real significance of that? What's the real meaning of that to the speaker? And then how does the one who hears interpret that and, you know, decide how to act on that? The third is what's rarely mentioned but really key. What is left unspoken? What is there that is there but has not been named? And the value of naming and identifying that very often is quite essential, and it can change everything. So today, it helps to have a focus. And so today, I'm going to talk more about listening for the big five. And the overview of the big five we referenced at the end last session is the first is focus on mindset, or attitude, and what is the focus, period. And then we go into skills and abilities, habits, practices, and patterns. And the fourth is energy. What is the what do you notice about the energy or the missing, what's missing about that? And then there is also a way to kind of make sense of all of that in terms of the recap. So because there are five, Jennifer, I thought I would just pause after each and we'd talk a little bit about what the significance of that has possibly been to you, or do you think it might be to others? So in terms of focus is what is drawing your own or that other's attention at this really specific time. And because an ideal focus is really appropriate for whatever the current purpose is. And their goals that, you know, can be evolved around that. And one of the ways we realize we're not focusing is the drift of the mind. And so, you know, what are we riveted on when we are kind of in flow and not really noticing the passage of time? Or when the person is drifting, or when we are drifting. So, when in your history have you realized you're most focused, and that focus is natural and easy for you?
You know, I have to say that when you said that you don't notice the passage of time, when I do podcasting, or I'm working on a web project, or I'm working on something that is that sweet spot for me that you can't stop me from doing, the time flies. It'll be like 5 in the morning, and I will not have noticed any time passed at all. I do love working in the wee hours because there's no distraction at all. You know, for the most part, the world at large doesn't expect anything at me. My family is asleep. The house is quiet. And I can just hone in on the project I'm trying to accomplish, and do it in a way that is like music. It just flows, like maybe more like a river. Where it just flows, and it seems like there's hardly any effort at all on my part to make it happen.
Right, yeah. I know for me, it's exactly the same thing. And I'm beginning to notice that, fortunately, when I write as well, because that's not always happened for I write a lot, but I consider it drafting more than really, you know, publishing writing, that type of thing. Behind the scenes, I draft. Then it changes when I know I'm going to go public with it. But and as we go through different life stages and different stages of our business, our focus also, you know, will be changing. So paying attention to where your focus is the first thing for you to be noticing when you're listening for the Big Five and listening to the Big Five. And that is part of, to me, part of your relationship with whatever it is your current endeavor is. And it's also, in a way, a head and wisdom and part in that listening requires both insightful listening as well as logical listening. So number two would be mindset and attitude. And this is more about your current mental and emotional position from which you can be able to be with the other and set aside the world and whatever else is going on for that length of time. And we know immediately, like I know when I have your attention and when I don't have your attention, and when I override, knowing that I don't, but still going forward with whatever my purpose was, you know, I'm no longer joining you where you are. And so my willingness falls in the mindset and attitude, a kind of locale, too. And this is also where I'm noticing motivational patterns about what the awareness is. Is there a habitual mindset and attitude that I'm kind of defaulting to, rather than just style or operational mode? And you'll have a direct experience of being heard when the mindset and attitude is open and responsive. So for that, I'm open to other ideas too from you about that.
You know, I think everything that you're saying, once again, I'm like sitting here, like I feel like one of those bobblehead kind of a things where I'm taking notes and I'm listening. And I also feel like you have been like the fly on the wall in my life, because I've been taking these steps intuitively, but not mm-hmm. identifying what they were. But it's kind of like the, you know, the pain points and the pleasure points, right? The flight or fight kind of
right.
thing. As I've gotten to know myself as, you know, Jennifer, as I've gotten older, then I understand those things and those nuances better. Whereas I would say in my 20s, I was just, you know, like kind of like a bull in a china shop, you know, just trying to figure everything out, but not having a true sense of understanding. And maybe mm-hmm. other people's 20s are like that too. I don't know. But yeah, I'm with you on it.
Okay, good. Well, then what we began to have the opportunity to listen for is what's present in terms of skills and capabilities. Like I know I have a real deep experience of being in really good hands with you. Your skills and your capabilities technically and in terms of hosting and interviewing, I'm very, very confident about. And so I don't even have to think about that, like if you're going to be interviewing me. All I have to do is work with content that I'm going to bring and manage me, you know, in the process of that too. And so when we're when we have opportunities, for example, with potential clients, one of the things that if we will pay attention to what we are beginning to perceive about their skill levels and capabilities and what is feasible about what they want to do and want us to support them in doing. And what are our skills and capabilities in that? Because we may be of real value to them in many ways, but not in a specific way that they're inquiring with us about. And that's when it's time to begin to think of who else do you know with the and what other firm businesses and firms do you know that have the skills and capabilities in-house are easily by contract, you know, that you may not want to provide. So we can listen for the presence as well as the absence of skills and capabilities. And you had something in mind, you know, when we started this out about the skills and the capabilities of our potential audience too. So I'd really appreciate it. Any views you have about that?
I think a lot of that too has to do with being able to identify those folks who have skills and capabilities for projects that are going to move forward. I think in the past for me, I wasn't so in tune with what that was. And so we went through a lot of processes of that trial, and I guess I call it trial and terror, right? Because you're not quite sure what everyone else can do. But, and also you're learning your own, what that is for yourself. I can really identify that stuff pretty quickly on people's mannerisms, you know, on the way that they talk about things and the way that they present themselves. And also, of course, the cool thing nowadays is that we do have this social media background check, right, where you can kind of really kind of get a sense of who people are based on what they've done. And so that I think comes with time. Once again, I really feel like I have these abilities now that I didn't have in my 20s, and boy, that sure would have been helpful. But it is so key to not only know what your skills and capabilities are, but being able to silently identify what those, silently and maybe not so silently, identify what those are in the people around you and the projects that you're going to embark upon.
All right, yeah. And in the relationships that we're in and in the potential business that we have or the current business that we have about where that could also go, this kind of listening for the big five can also tell you what's clearly, overtly present and what's missing. And sometimes what's missing, very often, in fact, most often almost, might be that either we or they or a combination of both of us may be ready to establish in a proactive way some new or different habits or practices, and then the patterns will change as to what we're observing and hearing when we're interacting together. And so we all have some way of defaulting to what we're most comfortable with, but we also can outgrow that without knowing that we're doing that. And without thinking or planning, we just depend on what, you know, maybe what's always been there in terms of our habits that we are repetitive. And you may also observe those showing up like with distractions mentally or physically, emotionally. There's a spiritual realm, too, that we can probably only journey with others as far as we've been willing and able to journey with ourselves. So our key questions, and this is really important to make requests, actually, literally, of your potential clients if you're kind of on the fence about if they're a good match or not for you. Or for me, and that is, do they need to shift in some specific way? Maybe lightening up, maybe being a little more detailed, maybe managing themselves a little bit differently. I've often had the privilege as well as the responsibility of being the one to be the truth teller with clients when they're great with content and presenting, but they don't have a presentation style, you know, that is accommodating to their particular audience for something. And that's my job, not only to help them figure that out and be aware of that, but also what to do, you know, about it. And so sometime in habits, practices, and patterns in that arena are things that we need to unlearn, so to speak. I mentioned to you about how with certain populations and when I'm training business coaches, some things have to be unlearned that they would default to naturally, but that would not be useful to other clients. Might have been useful to them at one point, but their business is not about them then. It has to be about the other. So you've changed and you've grown and you've had pivots in your business, and you probably even now are working on new habits, practices, and patterns yourself.
Oh, I definitely am, and I really like the idea of being willing to be open to constructive criticism from the people that are around you, because we all have our strengths, and we have the mess that we want to get out there, but we can be our own worst enemy in trying to, you know, get to that next level. And I know for myself, I wound up hiring a business coach a couple of years ago, and that was one of the best things I did for my business because it really transitioned the way that I looked and the way that I communicated things about my business. And since then, my business has really blossomed and grown in ways that are key and best suited to me and the team that I have amassed around me. And it was all because I was being willing to be open to constructive criticism on areas that I needed to either let go and stop spinning my wheels doing, or delegate to someone else, or things that I needed to change and shift in myself. And so it's been a very eye-opening and impactful, you know, journey at part of my business.
Right. Well, and my experience is the brighter we are, and the more DIY and capable we are of doing things ourselves, the more necessary it is to begin to take alternative, you know, routes and ways of looking at some of that, because we developed to a point sometime where delegation really is not just a gift and an opportunity, it's also a responsibility for us to know what's ours to do and what's ours to turn over and to make sure that it gets put in good hands. Not that ours were not good enough, we just don't have enough of them, you know, at some point in time, sometime. Well, I want to also talk a little bit about energy. And when we're listening for the big five in this way, we will notice that one or two will be givens. They'll just be, they're ours. You know, we kind of own that department. We're fine there. And that is very often what we will build on and extend on and go forward, kind of springboarding from. And then some of the other big five, and energy is one of them, maybe where there is a deficit or a shortage or a need for a recharge, that's when we do become aware of that, that we need to really take a look at who we're, you have mentioned a couple of different times in really interesting ways, who you surround yourself with, who you team with, you know, who you've contracted with, who you've hired. And that has to do with when we find a kind of a missing link or a missing piece or something that is not quite there yet for us. We take the responsibility for filling it in some way. And that shows up in the energy factor. When we're able to bring forth what we need at the appropriate time in the appropriate manner, and that itself will energize. And so if energy has been blocked, almost always one of the reasons it is not available to us is because something is missing, and one of energy rarely shows up alone as a deficit. In my case, I had to learn to manage high energy because I have high energy the majority of the time. In good times and average times, and sometimes that can be polarizing or a divisive kind of a nature, especially if I'm going to be with an introverted group of people. I get uncomfortable when there's not good leadership, and if I'm not really the leader, but I take over and take that role, my energy is high, but it's high in the wrong direction. That's not my role to be in when I'm in say it's a new group to me, and the bull in the china cap closet does not need to show up in me at that point in time when I need to be listening and paying attention and putting my energy on the other, rather than on getting that other geared up, like a group geared up and in action. I just ran into that politically here with a political group that was pretty divisive and pretty aggressive, and it was not where I belonged, and I did not have a place to fit in, and I wasn't going to temper that crowd. So, you know, I had to make a different choice about the political situation I was going to put myself in. But reading energy, beginning with our own, is really an important thing. So I'm going to stop right there and get any commentary you have, and then we'll talk about what's next.
You know, I'm listening to this energy part, and just that what you said about going into a situation and there not being really good leadership and no one knowing how to, and me as someone who's been a leader of many groups and organizations, it's easy for me to identify those things that need to happen in mm-hmm. order for the meeting to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
I did that recently, and it felt weird. But the meeting went really well because once I kind of stepped into the role that was missing and helped it facilitate along, everybody got mm-hmm. a lot out of it. It became more dynamic. But what I recognize now is that I was kind of like, ooh, you know, I felt like, oh, no, I should not have done that. And I couldn't understand where that kind of oddness, that odd feeling was coming from within myself. But you're right. Mm-hmm. I don't need to step into those roles just because they're there and just because I have the ability to do those roles.
Yeah, I know. I have to manage my discomfort. I don't like to be a part of something that's not well led, but that doesn't mean that I get to take over. But in some cases, when it works out well, people are really, they're not verbally appreciative, but you can see with the relief and the progress that that's been, you know, been what the circumstance has been and when you look back. Well, next time, I want to talk more about knowing your bandwidth and this whole concept of how to identify strength to build on and being brave enough not to try to improve in something that you're mediocre in, but actually taking your steps beyond in territories where you have a competitive advantage. And I also want to talk about a little four-piece quadrant of more and less and stop and start. So I think that's enough for today. And I'm looking forward to visiting with you tomorrow.
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun doing this, for the month of November. I feel like we're definitely going to have things that we want to say that last much longer than the month of November. We'll get to that as the month goes along. Thank you, everyone, for listening and joining us for the Build Your Business Once show, and we'll see you all or hear you all tomorrow.
Set a reminder for 9:30 a.m. Central every day in the month of November to listen to daily episodes of the Build Your Business Once show.